Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansbone-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. I'm also the author of the brand new book, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you?
And hello, Cindy. How are you?
Everything's good. And by the way, Jamie, who called in last week, that was having a very hard time with her divorce and her husband with
yes.
the order of protection and everything. The court did rule in her favor today, and
Excellent.
Her mom stepped up to the plate to help her.
Wonderful.
Which is a this is two miracles, believe me. And three, she ended up with a lawyer that she had wanted, the woman who was a little bit expensive, but
okay,
her
good.
Mom did help pay for it. And I happen to know who the lawyer was, and she's a very good lawyer, by the way.
Excellent.
So when she gave the name of the woman. So I kept telling her, don't lose faith, keep the faith, keep the faith.
Yeah.
And she said she kept praying for a miracle, and she believed she had her miracle. So I'm just like, yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good for her.
So I thought you would like to hear that news, you know, to start the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of our listeners and a lot of my clients get really despairing, and they almost want to give up. And
mm-hmm.
it's very hard for me to, you know, to sometimes bear witness to how they're keeping faith and it isn't going their way. So every once in a while, I'll say to God, and I did say it after our radio show, you give Jamie a break, God, okay? You owe me a favor or two, I'm sure. So I'm calling him in right now. So, you know, you hear me. So I love when I finally do call in it and the universe kind of says, okay, we'll go along with it. But my message for today is don't give up. I mean, what I've been dealing with a lot is a lot of people that are dealing with the suicides of young people. And it just is one of those things, you know, please, please, no matter how despairing you're getting, remember, as long as there's one person who loves you left on this planet, one person who would care, and one good deed left for you to do, hang in there, because it's just really important. You know, when things get rough, you know, hang in there. I don't know if you know that suicides are really rampant right now.
Oh, my God,
people.
Yes.
And I talk
well,
to more young
just
people.
Everywhere.
Right. It so seems to be something that I lost, you know, a lot of sleep the last few weeks over the number of suicides that, you know, people coming to talk and what happened and why they did it. And really what the overwhelming majority of the dead are telling me is if they had only held on just a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm just so glad that things went better for her, because it really gets really upsetting when you have kids and you have a really abusive mate and it doesn't seem like the courts are on your side. And, you know, it just really does seem like the whole world's conspiring against you. So, you know, I'm just so glad that that one turned out okay. So I just think
Absolutely.
You needed to hear that.
And you know what? And this is also a very, very important lesson to all of our listeners, Cindy. Okay, because not like, you know, many of our listeners are contemplating suicide or anything like that, God forbid, you know. But the fact of the matter is this, is that right now we live in a world where everybody, not just a select group of people, where everybody feels like nothing's fitting, you know. people feel like they're on a treadmill. People feel like that they can't get ahead. They're not getting the money that they want. They're not getting the jobs that they want, you know. There's so much despair that is out there. And you know what? The reason why there's so much despair is out there is because that is what's being thrown in everybody's faces. You listen to the news or watch the news and you see every bad thing that has happened not only in your own neighborhood but across the country. And if you turn to a certain station, it's across the world. They fill you up with negativity. They fill you up with tragedy. You know, they fill you up with things that are going to make you say, oh my God, look what just happened. Okay, they keep you in awe of this and they keep you fearing it, because the more you see it, the more you think to yourself, oh, my God, I don't want that to happen to me. And, oh, my God, let me crawl back into my little hole so that it doesn't happen to me. And you know what? It's inhibiting everybody. There has always been despair in this world, people. There has always been pain in this world. But you know what? We as a people, we as humans, we in humanity dealt with it differently than we're dealing with it now. We are so immersed in it. And now, let's face it, back then, back in the day, there was a newspaper. There was the newspaper. There wasn't anything, you know, major out there. There wasn't as much television as there is now. Now we've got it on TV. We've got it on radio. We've got it on the internet. We've got it streaming to our phones. There's no turning away from it. And I say this to you guys all the time. You know what? Unplug and go and do something nice for somebody. Pay it forward in the world. Do something better for something else and make somebody else's day, you know, because more acts like that are going to get you what you want in your life than sitting here and fearing the worst happening to you.
Exactly. And it's just a little bit of faith, a little bit of hope. And I think we as a people have become not having a strong enough frustration tolerance. It's too low. And it's almost wanting instant answers. Maybe television has said everything should be resolved in a half an hour, an hour, but people are sort of lacking patience. And I say it all the time when people call me, you have to read me right now, you have to read me right now. I go, no, I don't. You've been in a bad marriage for 20 years. Now it's in five alarm fire. You could wait a month. The universe will guide you during this month, and then I will speak to you. But everybody wants it that instant, you know, resolve it now. Do it now.
Oh, yeah.
And it does not, life sometimes, you just have to hang in there. And I know my mom, who wasn't the most supportive mother of anybody, but she only comes through now and she only says one sentence to me, and it's always this, it will all work out. And she tells me that after I've done everything I can in a situation that I'm feeling pretty hopeless about or I don't know what else to do. And she says, you know, relax, it'll all work out. So sometimes we need to know if we've done what we need to do, we just have to be a little patient and see what unfolds. And, you know, patience is, I think, the word we're going to be using a lot in the future. We just want everybody to be a little bit more patient.
Yep.
And I think you know that, too.
Yeah. I get it myself all the time. I get it in my own way all the time because I'm not patient. I screw things up for myself all the time because I'm not patient. You know what? I'm learning, and I go a little bit longer each time. So you know what? It's okay if you know, you get a little bit eager sometimes, you know, but just make sure that you keep yourself in check. Make sure that this is something that you know about yourself and that you're constructively trying to fix. You know, and that's my personal opinion on it, because you know what? Nobody's perfect in this world, you know, but it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible how overwhelming this, you know, just life can be. And a lot of the times it's so overwhelming because it's just everywhere you turn, that's what you see. You know, you're constantly seeing negative. How can you stay constructively in a positive mind frame if all you see is the shit? You know, if you're neck high in shit and half the time it's other people's shit, how the hell can you stay positive? I mean, seriously, it's difficult. And you know what? We as a people, it's more difficult now than it was in previous years because of, like I said, the way that we've progressed technologically, which, you know what? I got to be honest with you. It ain't so great. All these technological advances, they're not doing anything to help humanity. Everything that's made to make our lives easier is actually making us more defunct and more and worse.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, we're all going to just hang in there. It's the same thing with your cell phone. Stop calling everybody every second you have a problem. Let's have some patience, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
So we have
ridiculous.
A lot of callers
out there. You know what I did the other day, Cindy? Because I wanted just to do something that was just going to brighten somebody's day. Okay? So the other day, I decided that I was going to go for a walk because I've been hitting the gym extra, extra hard. I've engaged my entire office in this bet, you know, that involves health. You know, so, you know, we've all been competing with each other, and we've all been, like, working out extra hard, and we've all been curbing our diets and doing things, you know, and doing things of that nature. So on my lunch break, I decided that I wanted to go, you know, and take a walk or whatever. Instead of just have lunch, I wanted to go for a nice walk, burn a little calories, and then go back into the office refreshed. And what I did was I took a roll of pennies out of my house that morning, and I walked over to one of the shopping centers that was nearby, and as I walked every, you know, not every few feet or so, but, you know, every block or so, I bent down and I put a penny up on heads, because I know in my heart of hearts that somebody's going to walk by that penny and go, oh my God, it's good luck, and pick it up. So I put about 50 pennies on heads out there just so I could make somebody's day in thinking that it was a lucky penny.
That's what we need, a little bit more of, like, we have lucky pennies. Really, I love it.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, and I've seen people do this. Like, oh, it's a penny. It's like, you never use a penny when you go to the store. 9 out of 10 times you use your charge card anyway. You know, everything is being moved to plastic, you know. But I've seen the look on people's faces, even kids' faces, when they see a shiny penny on the ground. Like, oh, my God, it's good luck. Pick it up. You know, so that's what I did. I went around and I put pennies on heads just to kind of put a smile on somebody's face. I didn't even need to see the smile, but I know it was there.
Wow. Well, that's wonderful, and we thank you for that. And, of course, we have a lot of listeners today. The first
Not
thing you
have
go
a lot of
to
listeners,
is,
we've got a lot of people that want to get picked up today.
Is the 516-249. I do believe that that's Jane, who's been trying to find a place to live. So we'll maybe pick her up first. I'm pretty sure that's
okay. Let's go over there, and then I'm going to duck into the chat room and start screening you some callers.
Okay, great.
All right. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Okay, I guess that was not the person that you
well,
thought
go
it was.
Well, go down to the next
hung
one.
Okay. That's right. Okay.
You don't have
so
to hang up,
so
though. If we pick you up, you don't have to hang up.
Exactly. Just so everybody is aware. Okay, I do not screen the first call. So, next caller, your last 4 digits are 9522. If you don't want to talk, say, oh, no, I didn't have a question, and I will just push you back into the holding queue, and then you can just sit there and listen. That's fine. All right, but 9522, we're going to be talking to you. Hello, you're on
the air. Hi, it is Jane. You got it
Hi,
right.
Hi, Jane. I'm sorry. I got the number wrong. I look close to your number. Good.
That's okay. So, I know I have a private next month, so I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I think I emailed you a question.
And you have to tell it to our listeners because they don't know what the question was.
Okay, it's a matter of timing, and I'm trying to change locations, and it's kind of beyond my control. I have a few interviews up in the air.
Right, and then, it looks good. Your interviews look pretty good. Are you thinking of taking that apartment? The one in
I let it go. It was
okay,
a little
and
stressing.
I think it's probably for the best.
Yeah, you had mentioned before this to hang in there where I am. I am being pressured though to, and rightly so, to you know get my the, you know to get another place.
All right, but you're supposed to be moving when?
Well, I'm hoping. The end of the middle of May, I'm hoping.
To move for somewhere for like a month,
yeah,
seems ridiculous.
That's right, and I just I guess I wanted a little reassurance before my reading, which is in I think 4 weeks, that I'm on the right track.
Yes, it looks very good here. Again, try not to move and pick up and go. I mean, just to try to hang in the a little bit longer.
Okay.
Your friend does know you're moving in May, correct?
She knows I'm trying to. Yes.
Okay. I mean, what you can do is just let her know that you'll be out of there by May,
yeah.
The date that you give her. And it looks like the interviews are going well. So, definitely keep doing mm-hmm. everything you're doing, but you're going to be out of New York soon, so.
I am. Okay. All right.
Yes. I got the big move card, so it looks great.
Okay, good. And I can't wait for my private with you. And I'll,
I know.
As
wait,
usual, I
by
love
By then,
you, love
you might even have a job, by the way. So
By when?
By a month from now when you're getting your next reading, so you may have that job that you want down south, so that'll be good.
Okay, great, which would mean I would be in the process of packing up.
Exactly.
That would be awesome.
And just start packing up now some stuff so the person you're living with knows you're moving.
Well, I never unpack, so.
Okay, good.
which you know, kind of annoys her because of the mess, but it's all, I have rows and rows of boxes here.
Oh, I guess. Like that could be annoying. But
yeah.
Everything looks good, and I'll speak to you next month.
Okay, great. I just wanted a little reassurance. Thank you again, and we'll speak to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, now we have Eleanor, right?
Oh, yes, we do. And Eleanor, actually, Cindy, I don't know if you remember or not, but Eleanor was actually a caller from about, I think she called about a month ago. All right.
Okay.
She was really, really needed to, some work detoxing from a man there. And, she's been, doing Reiki. She's actually been reading your book, which has been very beneficial to her. You know,
which
she's
one?
Been
the
journaling
old book?
A lot.
Grant me a high.
Pardon
me?
You
know,
I didn't ask if it was the old or the new book. I'm still not used to hearing that book being out right now. So,
okay,
you
must be Grant Me a Higher Love.
Oh, you must be. It must be. You know, but I mean, she says that either way, it's been very, very beneficial to her. And, you know, she's been journaling a lot, and she's really, really trying to cleanse herself of this. But the other day, actually, I think she said it was yesterday, you know, she happened to see him drive by in his car, and they crossed paths again. And she doesn't know if it was like a stalking type of situation or if it was just coincidence, and she's really been begging the universe to kind of bring her that soulmate, and she needs to be rid of this one. So she wants to know, where exactly is this guy's head at, and is it the situation that she thinks, you know, where he could be kind of trying to insert himself where he doesn't belong, or is the universe going to bless Eleanor with a brand new soulmate that she's been asking for? So let's hear from Eleanor.
Good questions.
Hello, Eleanor.
Hello.
You're on the air.
I love you, Nicole. I think you summarized everything so well.
I know. That's why she's
very
really
much.
Good. She puts it in a nutshell. I mean, when she's not here doing the show with me, I'm like, what? What's going on here? You know, she's the best.
She's got an amazing gift. This segment is just so apropos on patience. I think the universe just guided me, you know, right to this particular show too.
And you know that because you, when I ever start doing any radio show or any readings, everything I say is channeled to me that day to tell what I should be saying at that moment. And the patience one, you got the message. It's, yes, we want soulmates, and yes, we want it to happen. But if we've stayed too long in a place where we shouldn't be, a toxic relationship or anything else, we sometimes have altered what would have been here already. And we just have to be a little bit patient. Again, the first card I got on it was, that wasn't a coincidence you saw him. Where does he live in relationship to you?
A few towns over, but his ex-wife lives the next town from me. I don't know if that was his car, if I was seeing things. I was crossing the street with my son.
Right. I think it was his for him, by the way, and I don't think it was a coincidence. I think he is keeping a little bit of tabs on you, wanting to see if you're around, home, what you're up to.
But he is a cop, so.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about that. And it looks like he is just keeping some tabs on you. You know, I don't think he has the nerve to contact you right now again, but sometimes the universe just, they don't mind that we run into this person. Did you feel a little more like you're moving away from him? Did it make you feel like, oh, I didn't get that same, you know, pain in my heart when I saw him? How did you respond differently now to seeing him than you would have, say, a month ago? Was there anything different?
I was questioning whether it was actually him or, you know, could have been him. I could swear it was his car. And I'm still going through, it's been a little over a month, a lot of, you know, I'm trying to hold on to anger because I think that serves me best. And sometimes I psychically feel we're thinking about each other at the same time. I don't, you know, that we're on the same thread, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does, because you once were soulmates. So soulmates are very telepathic. So even when you're trying to forget him, he could be sending you a message or thinking about you and you're getting it. Again, you're in the throngs of an addiction right now, because when love gets toxic, it's really a cold turkey process. And, you know, sometimes you get that angst, that anxiety, that paranoia, what's he doing, who he's with. I mean, it has all the traits of an addiction. So it isn't, you know, it isn't unusual that what you're going through, because it really takes like, you know, 3 to 5 months to really withdraw from this. And again, holding on to anger for you is a good thing, because older souls by nature forgive too easily. They're busy working and they don't even remember half the crap people pull on them. That's part of the problem. They're just too busy from day to day. Each day is so filled with 10 lifetimes of work in a day and things to do. But holding on to the anger so that you don't rewrite history or make it better than it was. But you might want to be keeping a journal that what you learned today from the ending of this relationship, because there's lessons in love being brought and lessons in being taken away. When I did this after a particular relationship, I probably learned 2,000 lessons. So it could be just today's lessons with patience. You know, that I just need to learn to patient and to endure. Another day it may be, you know, getting more in touch with anger, and that anger is a valid emotion and you have a right to be mad about this. Try to figure out what is the message in each day, and it will help you sort of cut some of the cords. You still have a lot of energetic cords to him, by the way. So
How about him to me?
They're sort of both ways. And when we end a relationship, we may have, say, you know, even though we've been psychologically separating or divorcing in a psychological sense, between people there are like thousands of energetic cords. And maybe you had cut 800 of them by the time you left. There's still 200 more.
Right.
So, you know, each day as we learn the lessons, another cord is cut. And you just have to start, you know, letting go and allowing, once you go through the anger stage, to going to the mourning stage, a little bit of mourning. It feels like a death. You have to go through the sort of, I'm mourning for the end of the relationship. Have you done that yet?
I've done that. I've gone through all 5 stages of grief, backwards, forwards, and upside down. And, you know, I really thought I'd be at the acceptance point, but
it does take a while, though. It can be 5 months to 5 years for some people, depending upon how long the relationship was before they really detox, get all the, you know, everything out of their system. And I think what happened is you sort of had to cut this relationship off relatively quickly. And you have a little bit of what's called phantom pain. If you were an amputee, you would still feel like your limb is still there.
Right. So, well, that's how I feel.
Yeah, and don't rush it. It's okay. A soulmate is coming, but women have to learn to stand on their own 2 feet without a man. And the universe is going to give you a 6-month period or so. It's very hard for women to be without men. They've been brainwashed to believe any man's better than no man. And the universe wants you to know that you are complete unto yourself. And the more that you can be happy being alone, not that you should get so you want to never be with anybody, but if you could feel complete onto yourself without someone, the universe would be happier to see that.
I'm not quite sure if I want a soulmate so badly because, you know, I'm lonely, or if it's because I'm trying to fill the pain of...
Right, that would then what would be... would be a sort of what's called a transition soulmate. To break one addiction, they're giving you another. It's like you're going from heroin to methadone.
Mm.
And it's still a drug, methadone. And eventually we have to go cold turkey. So what you may be, you know, looking for is somebody to fill that space and time. But what I would advise you, like you said, you're reading the book, you're doing things, to learn something new or fill your days with some sort of healthy health habits, or be a lover to yourself and treat yourself, you know, as such, you know, maybe to a massage, maybe to something that is a little bit gifting yourself with something so that, you know, you learn that you're not bored. We all have to stop distracting in America. It's a very distracting culture. We were taught that from day one, you know, watch something, see something, do something. But we have forgotten that we can be very entertaining onto ourselves, in our minds, and
I know, I'm
learning,
very
you know what I'm talking about. You can learn. And what I find is I'm extremely happy alone. I mean, I have a wonderful husband, but being alone has never bothered me. I find that I have a very fertile mind and filled with creativity and things that maybe we need to get to know the depth of our minds. Most people are only using a small part of their minds. And if you would sort of fall in love with your own mind and maybe learn something new, just try to learn something new that you've always wanted to learn. And you don't have to go to school. You could get a book on it. You could read on it the way you're reading more spiritual things. But
or use the Internet for something more constructive, Cindy.
Exactly, to learn things.
Yeah, right. So this is over for him. He's not going to heal.
You mean he's not going to change into a nice man? Is that what you're asking me?
In other words, he's not going to get the help that he needs.
He's a pretty unfixable man. You know, he's a narcissist. We describe the traits that make the prognosis of someone over the age of 25 changing very poor.
Right.
He's a very narcissistic man, very manipulative. You know, rewrites history. He's an also extremely judgmental man. Those two traits, the prognosis of him changing, very, very poor, because they make a person have a very self-serving lens in which they're perceiving reality incorrectly. They're not seeing it. It's very hard to get narcissists to see reality.
Right.
And, you know, because he's such a harsh judge of people, and because you said he's a policeman, his reluctance to seek help might be there. It's unfortunate, but a lot of times policemen are afraid to seek psychiatric help. And that has to stop because it's a stigma. Everybody needs psychiatric help. I mean, I don't care who you are at some one point or another. But he's not a very fixable man. And, you know, even if he were, he'd have to wait and see what happens. But as long as you're still hoping that he might be fixed, the universe won't bring you somebody else.
Right. So I have to let go of that whole, I mean, I do pray and I say, you know, if it's meant to be, we'll be together, but in the meantime, you know, to bring me a higher
level. A better
love.
Prayer would be to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who could do the same because you're not even mentioning him in it. If he's the soulmate, so be it.
Ah, okay, that's what I'm
saying. Do you understand?
Wrong.
And it could be another one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's still praying for a soulmate. But as long as you're still keeping that door open even a little bit, that's keeping the energetic cords tied. Again, because you started out as soulmates, there's always that hope that you could fix and bring the, back up the ladder of love to soulmate. But I don't think we could fix him. And,
right.
you know, and once you determine that someone's relatively unfixable, we have to come to that realization that we're not serving their higher good by being with them. Perhaps if there was any hope, taking the 2 feet out would be the only hope at this point. Maybe he won't fix himself for you, but maybe he will eventually come to some realization and maybe fix himself for himself somewhere along the line. That's our hope. If you have a soulmate and it isn't working, your hope is that they will heal anyway without you. We don't, you know, a lot of women say, well, I can't believe it. Now he's going to be good for somebody else. Well, maybe you helped him be better. And maybe that was your job, to help someone learn. But they're not going to learn it through you. They're going to learn it through the lack of you in their life. But
right. So he's not even, in your, you know, sense, he's not even moving forward to help himself.
The first card I got from him is like a man that can't change, a man who's highly manipulative. So that's why I'm laughing, because you know, there's only two of those cards in a deck of 80. The fact that, you know, that card came up, and I got the Devil card on him too, which means if you go back with him, you're going to be right back in that toxic love affair and that toxic mess. And again, a person is not supposed to fill the holes in our heart or in our consciousness or in our own being. A person is supposed to, a soulmate is supposed to stand separately spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and financially without us, as we can do without them, and then we become a stronger unit. You know, if you're right now, it's almost like you're waiting for him to fill something that seems empty in you, and that emptiness you can fill with your own soul. You have to come to know who you are. Once we're very in touch with our soul, we don't ever have that feeling of loneliness and abandonment, you know, that sense of that again. And if our childhoods were pretty needy, sometimes it brings up some of those feelings, and it also brings up any loss, any person we've loved who's died and left us. All the mourning comes up at once. So sometimes it's not even missing these people. It's just bringing up a lot of other emotions. So, you know, sometimes we're giving these people too much credit.
Right.
So learning to deal with your own, knowing, yes, and I don't want you to get so comfortable that you don't miss a man. The worst people to deal with are the ones that I see in their cards, a soulmate is coming, and they go, well, I don't really want a man. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't want. They're too comfortable on their own. And that's what you'll always have that little voice. As happy as I may be, I really want to share my life and share my love and share my experiences with another person. But that's different than desperately needing it. It's
right.
Very, very different. So you're getting there. It's hard. I'll tell you the truth. Healing is a very hard process. And most people will only heal 40 or 50% of their issues. You're up there trying to heal the 75% so that you can maintain soulmate love. And it's painful. You're in a painful place.
I feel like, you know, the wound is closing and it's scarring over, but, you know, he really shattered any kind of trust I had, you know, because he, you know, was so untrusting that he finally opened to me and then shattered me.
Right. And, of course, we have to be able to heal our issues so that the worst imaginable thing for some people is that someone will cheat on them. And they'll be devastated, and they won't be able to survive. I said, you have to be strong enough. You've survived without someone so that you don't have to live in morbid fear of something or terrified that someone's going to hurt us. So, you know, again, you might just have to strengthen yourself a little bit here. And, you know that, you know, of course, he misses you. But, again, he'll just distract with all kinds of nonsense, too, so keep himself busy. And that's what addictions are. All kinds of addictions just fill the hole in us. So if you're not a person prone to addictions, oftentimes it's not so easy to get over things because you're not distracting.
He does think about me and he misses me, huh?
Yes, he does. Of course he does. And, again, sometimes the kindest act of love someone could do is to walk away from us because they know they're not going to heal.
That's what he did.
Right. He knows he can't heal. So you call in again. You might want to get hold of why good people can't leave bad relationships because that kind of is a, you know, it's a small book, 200 pages or something, but it really cleans out maybe some of the last residual things you might need to learn.
That's next on my list.
And it's a fun book to read from what people said because it's written in a pretty funny, hitting you over the head, no holds barred, but fun read. And it's something people are telling me it's helping them and wondering why they didn't see this in the past. But for you have one child or two children, by the way?
I have two.
For your children's sake, you need to start showing them a better version of love. So that's why the universe will want you to have a soulmate and a good person. But you also have to show them that women and people can stand on their own two feet.
That's what I'm trying to show them, that, you know, I'm not interested in dating. But I did put myself on eHarmony, which is one of the better sites. And I'm trying to, you know, go to some mixers and whatnot. I work in a hospital. I'm professional. There's really no opportunity to meet, you know, decent men. So just wondering when a soulmate will come. I guess I just have to have a little more patience.
Right. And, again, we can find a man to fit a plan in about 5 minutes. We can find a very narcissistic rung where any guy's interchangeable with another at any bar. But a soulmate has to be brought into alignment with us. And, again, if your door is not really closed on this one, the universe will hesitate to bring because if this guy comes back and tells you everything you want to hear, it could sabotage the other relationship. So it's
right.
One of those things, one door really has to be pretty closed. Because it just, the other person doesn't deserve to have their heart ripped out because you change your mind and go back. And people do
right.
It all the time, by the way. They go back to their bad marriages because their higher love scares them. And the poor soul, you know, the person's left there devastated. They did everything perfect, and this person runs back to their horrible, toxic marriage.
Right.
So, again, we have to be really, really strong. And it's one of, you know, my missions is just to help people feel strong. We will get through this. We can survive. And that's, you know, sort of the theme for today's show is hang in there. It, you know, take it one day at a time. It's like you, right now you're taking it one day at a time. Get through today, learn, grow, enjoy today, and know that a soulmate is going to be granted to you. For your children's sake, it's guaranteed you will have a soulmate because they really need to see this better version of love.
I hope so.
And you'll be ready. And when the more healing you could do on your own, when your soulmate comes, which brings up other unhealed issues, if you've healed so many of them on your own, how much could surface then? So the more that we heal our issues prior to a soulmate coming, actually, the easier the relationship is. And that's why sometimes people, when they're getting older and they meet someone, like with my husband and I, when we met, we were already in our late 50s, we had been through so much healing. It was the easiest relationship in which we don't fight and we communicate and we love each other and there's none of that nonsense that destroys things because we both did a lot of healing before we met. So love should be really pretty easy. Shouldn't be all this dysfunction is hard. Love is easy. So the more inner homework you do, the higher a soulmate they will bring you. If you're only going to do a little bit of healing, they'll bring you a soulmate that's done a little bit of healing. Then you're going to have a lot of mess there. If you do a lot of healing, then they'll bring you a soulmate who's done a lot of healing.
I realize I don't want any more drama. So
thank you.
We want
passion without drama. People mistake drama for passion. You know, the two are not the same.
No. I'd have to agree with that because I've had my share of both.
Right. And you want the passion. You don't want the drama. And certain people, just the sky is always falling. There's always a problem. Every time you're near them, it's a disaster. I mean, when people are healed, I'll tell you this, life for the most part goes pretty smoothly. And if you get a big bump in the road, it's because it couldn't be avoided. Sometimes there's universal karma that has nothing to do with you, but you have the skills to handle it. But people whose lives are always in chaos, that's unhealed. Life is not chaotic every day. It's ridiculous. But you do know people whose lives are always chaos, don't you? I mean, it's awful.
Well, that was my ex-boyfriend. Everything, every day, everything, you know, the sky fell every day. And he had poor coping skills.
Right,
yeah.
And that's
you know, you're better off without him, Eleanor.
And again,
became addictive because I wanted to help him constantly.
Okay, that's why you need the second book, because the book is basically like what errors good people do is they think it's their job to fix people. They think it's their job to save everybody and carry everybody's cross and clean up everybody's mess. That's not our job. Our job is to heal ourselves. And if we heal ourselves, that's a big enough job on this planet. And then God brings healed people into our existence because we're healed. Healed people don't try to fix people. They don't try to rescue them and save them. Not grown-ups. Children need rescuing. Someone, a building's burning, they need rescuing. But that doesn't mean you carry that person on your back for the rest of your life. So it's one of those things, you know, in Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, I talk about our own need to be needed. And if you have a person who's needy and always needing help, well, they're never going to leave you. That's our hope. So our own needs to not be needed keeps us with needy people. So it's one of those things that really run away from people who constantly leave fixing or rescuing. It's really, and again, women are out there sometimes saying to me, they're 50 years old, well, I want a man to take care of me. And I'm like, forget about it. That's about as appetizing as nothing. Take care of yourself. Nobody wants to take care of you. You're 50 years old. Take care of yourself. You know, and then together, you two of you can love and nurture each other. But nobody wants to take care of anybody who's 50 years old. I mean, so I'll say to women, keep throwing that out there. You're not going to get anybody going to come. I'd run so fast. If a man told me I want somebody to take care of me, I'd be running in the other direction. You know, so we have to be careful and know that we can take care of ourselves and teach your children to be independent. And they have to be educated, and they have to be able to have a skill and be able to support themselves. Those are the best things we could show children. And, you know, that's what I think, as bad as my father had been to me growing up, the one thing he wanted me was to be educated. And that education freed me from a lot of other things. So we have to make sure our children are able to be educated, can stand on their own 2 feet. But you have to start by showing them how happy you can be with yourself.
I'm trying very hard to do that and to be a positive role model.
And again,
and
women have been brainwashed to believe they're not complete without a man. So you're cleaning out the subconscious mind of a woman.
I've been doing a lot of work because I'm a, you know, first-generation American of Holocaust survivors, where you could just imagine.
And because of that, and that's why I would love you to read the new book, because I have a whole section on, you know, Hitler's anger and Gandhi lived at the same time. And my mission in writing both books was to try to understand how something as atrocious as the Holocaust could take place. And if we have blinders on and only want to see the good in people, and we don't trust our gut that they're not good, we're going to have a world in which evil persists and people don't see it. That's why you're getting blinders off. Because you're a child of Holocaust survivors, you have some post-traumatic stress disorder, as if you had been in the death camps. There's no doubt about that. And you have to understand how hard it was for them, and that some of what you're experiencing is some of the anxiety that your parents probably transmitted to you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, my mission has been so much to understand the Holocaust my whole life. So, you know, for you, understand that people, evil exists. There are unfixable people. And if we don't understand that, we're going to keep trying and trying and trying, and we're going to get hurt. And a lot of what should come up in you is that you were raised by two shell-shocked parents. Yes, they survived, but and that's what I'm talking about, suicide today. Imagine in the Holocaust, they fought to survive. They were starving. They were tortured. And yet their will to live was so strong. What's wrong in America that people can't cope? You know,
right.
And it's shocking to me the amounts of people who can't cope in our world when your parents cope through so much worse.
No, you don't even know the half of it. So, you know.
Have you been to Yad Vashem yet in Israel?
Yes, I've been there, and the Holocaust Museum in Washington. And actually, my mother wrote semi-autobiographical books about what she went through. And, you know, that's for another show, I guess.
And, again, that's something that... all as I remember being in Israel at Yad Vashem, and I was 19 years old, and I was not raised Jewish, but I always knew that I died in the hands of the Nazis in 1944 and was reincarnated in 1953. I knew it.
Wow.
Since I was a child. And no one understood why I had to go live at a kibbutz for a while, and I had to go see Israel. I said, I belong here. And I needed to see people with numbers on their arms. I needed to see survivors. They needed so desperately to see that some people had survived and what they had built. And when I went to Yad Vashem, I could almost not breathe. And meanwhile, I'm with all these other Jewish 19-year-olds who just want to get out of the museum. They don't get it. And when I saw 1 million candles lit for every child who was killed in the Holocaust, and 1 million candles, you know, goes on forever, I could almost not breathe. So... know that your mission here is to try to understand how a monster like Hitler could rise to power. Just don't see evil. Just keep thinking someone's fixable and let them get away with murder. And
is that my mission? Is that what I'm here for?
This is your mission, to learn that evil exists, to learn why people couldn't see it, why they didn't address it fast enough, because good people have been brainwashed not to see evil. And to not trust their gut, and to walk around with blinders on, that everybody's good, no one will hurt you, and that's simply not the case. So,
I'm a very trusting soul. I trust everybody.
Now, picture during the Holocaust, the trusting people ended up in the ovens. They trusted everybody.
Eleanor, I'm gonna say something to you right now, okay? Okay, regarding your mission and everything that we're talking about here, because I'm about to bring everything that we've been talking about full circle, okay? Do you know how the concept of a gas chamber was made? Do you know?
No, I don't know. No.
Okay. I'm going to tell you how, okay? The way that the Germans developed the gas chamber, and they were the first ones to do this, or I can't even say Germans, because not every German is a Nazi, and I'm sure that the people that are German out there will agree with that and would like to hear me say that, because that is something that is very unjust done to an entire people, even though it was only one faction of people in a particular country. The way that the Nazis came up with the gas chamber was like this, okay? They used to just shoot everybody in sight, okay? And you know what? It was expensive for bullets. And one night, a Nazi, okay, had a little too much to drink, and he drove home. And when he drove home, he fell asleep in his car in the garage with it closed because he was so drunk and he almost died. And when they said, oh, my God, you almost died, that's where the concept came from, to the point of where when they said, oh, this could be so much more efficient, that's what they started doing. They started pumping carbon monoxide into small rooms with people standing shoulder to shoulder from wall to wall. And when they saw that it was only making them sick and it wasn't killing them fast enough, they kept thinking about even more efficient ways to get this done and better ways to get this done, almost to the point of where they took sacks made out of, enclosed sacks, and they literally had them anchored to exhaust pipes on the cars and wrapped them and noosed them around heads of Jewish people so that
pure
they can
evil.
See the effect of the carbon monoxide. But it all started with somebody as simple as just going home and falling asleep, okay? There are things in this world that are underlying that seem so innocent. You know what? He's overreacting about this and that, but that's innocent. That's not, you know, that's not malicious, and that's just something so small. You know what? But it only took something that small to make something so great that it literally infected an entire faction of people to the point of where they thought what they were doing was okay, and to the point of where something so simple and so small affected a people where literally it was genocide, where those people have you know, were changed for their life throughout the course of history. And it all started with one small, small thing. So remember,
right. And if we,
when
and
you
if
go
we
out
don't...
there, if it's love or what, well, remember when you go out there, okay, it could be small. But if your gut is telling you, you know what, something is not right here, it's not right. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to, you know, to cater to it. Don't feed into it. You walk away from it.
Right, and
because
we address it and we punish it if necessary.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's why with you, Eleanor, I think there's a lot of big life lessons that you have to be understanding that, you know, Hitler walked the earth. It was only a little bit more than 60 years ago, 70, whatever it was. It's a breath away from now. And human consciousness takes thousands of years to evolve. That kind of energy, that kind of evil, and that kind of inability to see evil is why we're back on earth. The good people have to address the fact that there are certain people who will hurt us.
And it's still happening everywhere else.
Exactly. And
yeah.
That's, you know, part of your understanding. How could it happen? How could people not see it? Well, I want you to, all of our listeners, to meditate. If someone was telling you your Jewish neighbors, your other people are disappearing into ovens, would you believe it? We'd say, no, that wouldn't happen. It couldn't happen.
Right.
It's very hard.
Everybody's brainwashed.
It's very hard to wrap our minds around it. And what you might want to do is realize that certain people are reincarnated Nazis. Perhaps your policeman is a reincarnated Nazi. Maybe there's some things that you could wrap your head around why you may be put in contact with him and what this might be about. So realize that we're not changing people. We're not fixing them. And, you know who you can fix and who not to fix. And know when to watch your own back and when to protect yourself. Because if you go back with this man, you're only asking to be hurt.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah.
And
you
if
you
want to teach your children peace, teach them what soulmate love is. Don't teach them toxic love because you're going to teach them war. That's what toxic
love is. You know how you fix people truly, Eleanor, in this world? You want to fix people? You want to know how you do it? You heal yourself and you become an example. And then you continue on that path and you let people around you get exposed to the love and the light that you have. Don't cater to their darkness. Let them see your light. That's how
exactly.
you fix people. That's how you affect people. You don't go into the darkness with them. You make them, you draw them into you, into your light. And you know what?
Well,
if you see that your light starts to get drained out by them, then you know what? Those people are like energy vampires. And those people we have to walk away from. And you have to say, not because you want to abandon them, but you have to say, you know what? Now is your time to stand on your own 2 feet and do the same healing that I did. And then you move on. That's how you fix people. You don't have to go into that darkness with them. You don't have to crawl into that hole with them. All you need to do is show them the way. And if they choose to take it, then great. And if they don't choose to take it, then that's on them, and that has nothing to do with you.
Exactly. Well, Eleanor, I hope it helped today. I hope you realize there are very big lessons that we have to learn from every person who's brought into contact with us. And your own life is a mirror of the world. And if we can't have love in our hearts, in our home, and with our relationships, what hope is there for the world? If people who are sharing a house with 3 bathrooms and 4 people can't make peace in a house with 3 bathrooms and arguing over everything, that is going to just transmit all over the world. So my real mission is anti-war. It always has been. It has nothing to do with soulmates. It has to do with my way of healing the world one couple at a time.
Well, you've been tremendously helpful. I appreciate both of you giving me some advice.
And
really
we just, and just... know that you have some healing to do from your childhood, by the way.
That I know.
From the fact that you never felt safe. There was always a part of you that never truly felt safe.
I have a lot of abandonment issues. I know that.
And so do all humans. Well, anyway, I want to try to take Jackie, the next caller, because I know who that is. And Eleanor, thank you so much. Good
thank
luck
you.
To you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Eleanor.
Bye-bye.
All right, Cindy, like you just said, we are going over to Jackie. Now, Jackie, you've come to Jackie's house before. You know who she is. Okay, just for the callers out there, or rather for the listeners out there, Jackie will be having a reading with you in a couple of weeks, Cindy, but she needs a sneak peek because she's having some health issues going on right now, and you know what? She's more concerned about that right now. In a couple of weeks, she wants it to be about love, but right now she wants to know, how's her health doing, and will she be all right? So
okay,
let's go over
good.
To Jackie in Long Island. Hello, Jackie. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello,
how you doing,
hello
Cindy?
Jackie. I see a lot of stress cards. You know, there's only 4 stress cards. You got 3.
I thought you were going to tell me 5.
No, I got 3. 3. No, what's happening is a lot of your health is your stress. You're not working also, or are you just...
No, I'm out of work. Oh, because
are you out
injury.
Of work because of your illness?
From injury.
Okay. And... Is it your injury that's bothering you? Because I've got the card with the man walking with crutches and not very good here in the card. What happened to you?
My neck. I have a problem with a bunch of the vertebrae, and my neck went bad. So they did a epidural, and that didn't kind of work out. And they're going to maybe do another one, and I'm like, is this ever going to get better?
Right, I know. And you have to be careful because you want to make sure that the treatments aren't worse than the illness.
I know.
And so, you know, what I see is a lot of stress on your plate, and anything with your neck, your back, and all of those are the chakras of, you know, it seems like you're carrying a lot of crosses. You're really been stressed out, and it's affected your health. But
I'm really pretty good.
Okay.
It was an injury from, I took the dryer out of the closet, not pulling it out, took it off the shelf up above. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right. And now you're stressing out because you're not working.
Oh, no, yeah. There's no income here.
Right.
You know that.
And, right. No, I know that. And that's enough to make anybody stressed out more. Have you been doing your research on the treatments for what you're getting, you know?
It's from doctor to doctor, but not looked it up like on the computer or any of that nonsense, no.
I would maybe advise you to just, you know, do some of your own homework before you just, you know, because a lot of people with neck and back injuries, but the treatments are making them worse than, you know, what happened. So
mm-hmm.
do your homework. I see you getting stronger and better. I mean, you really do need to rest. Are you resting at all?
Today was the first day I was out in 3 weeks.
Good.
Yeah.
Because the rest.
I can't.
The rest is good for you. Did they recommend any physical therapy or anything?
Not yet. They only just did this on Tuesday because they were going to take a couple of discs out, and then we decided, no, let's try, go easy
first.
Yeah,
be careful before you take discs out and do major operations.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes people have a lot of clients. They seem never to be better but from these operations.
Yeah, but this ain't seems like it ain't working out either, though, so I don't know.
Right.
I'm
again,
just like, I'm a mess over it, but...
The outcome looks pretty good, but I would advise you, you have to do your homework.
Does it look like I'm going to go back to work?
Driving your bus, that work?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it looks like you should be able to do that.
Oh, sweet, okay.
Okay, so that looks okay there. Nicole had a bad back injury, you know, from her car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And it took her a long time to be getting better as well. But it looks like it's, you know, needs some time to heal this. And just be careful with the surgeries. Be sure that's the last option.
Yeah, well, that's how I have it set right now. That is the last option. But you
right.
know, as you're you know,
patience.
I'm out 4 weeks, and you're doing two
patience.
More weeks. So.
Patience.
That's what you said in the beginning of the show today.
Patience.
I'm impatient. I'm going to become
I know,
impatient.
And again, when we, you know, I don't know if you remember when Derek Jeter had hurt his ankle and he came back, and I said to my husband, he's not going to be able to play baseball anymore. He's not going to make the season. They didn't give him enough time to heal. There's no doctors
right.
that could have healed that ankle. And, of course, he didn't make the season.
Right.
Because things need time and patience, and you hurt yourself. And again, you're an old soul, and you never ask for help. And what might be God's message in this? Before you move a dryer, why don't you ask for somebody to help you?
I know, but when it's something really important, that's when I want to ask. I don't want to be that open wound that's constantly saying, "Could you do this? Can you do that?" That's how I am. I don't just let me get it done. And there's things I ask people to help me with, but that was just my dopey daughter was trying to help me, and she went.
And again,
it didn't work.
You know, certain things we have to know to ask for help so we don't end up.
I'm not doing this anymore, I'm telling you. I'm going to have a hard time cutting the lawn. No, I'm going
right,
to cut the lawn.
Just, get a few opinions on it, but you might want to, you know, do your own research as to, you know, what treatments people found helped or worked that are a little bit more holistic and, you know, not so dramatic because, you know, just in case. It does look like you will definitely be back to work.
Oh, thank God.
Sooner than later. So try to enjoy your downtime, please. Try to enjoy your vacation.
I wish I could. I would love to. If I had money, I'd be in the warm weather right now. But that's all right.
Right. You really will be okay. I'm just always tell people it is your health and your body. And doctors and people make a lot of money on surgeries and operations.
Uh-huh.
And whether they're really benefiting you or the doctor, you need to look up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because once someone takes a knife to surgery,
mm-hmm.
You may never be able to heal it yourself. So, you know, I've sort of got this philosophy. I can get through life without going to a hospital or a knife in me. I'll be going to be very happy. But
it wasn't what I picked for first thing, so.
No, it looks, you know, you just need some patience, a little bit of courage, and it will
get
better.
I have no patience. You got to know that.
I know that. That's why, I don't know why, but today's been the, like, patience day, you know, for everybody. And
Listen, I'm very patient. That guy never showed up on my doorstep, my Prince Charming. So you better rest up, because if my reading comes, it's going to be a real challenge.
Well, again, you know, I don't think you really wanted a man. You're a person that said you really don't want a man. You're always telling me you don't want one.
Yeah, sure
oh, now
do.
You do.
Yeah, of course I do.
Okay, good, because that's a different tune than you've been singing for the last couple of years. So
I've gotten older.
Okay,
I want somebody.
Good.
I want somebody I can take care of. Oh my God. I'm not looking for somebody to take care of me.
You're just looking for somebody, for two people to love and have fun and share and give.
Yeah.
You want a man who gives as much as you give.
That's it.
Because you're a giver.
Up.
If you had somebody who gave as much as you gave, boy, you'd be a happy camper.
Oh, yeah. But I'll take half. That's okay.
Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show, Jackie. I will speak
Thank
to you in
you.
3 weeks. By then,
yes.
you should have some more answers about your health, too, so we'll be figuring out more then.
Yeah, I got to go to Dr. 11, so we'll see. Thank
well,
you again.
You're welcome. I'll see
and
you
I'll,
soon.
Good night, Jackie.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Now, did we not say patience again?
You know what was funny about that? Jackie said it. When I put her into the chat, when I pulled her into the chat room to screen the call, she did. She turned to, she's like, I know it's about patience today. She goes, but I'm being a little impatient because I want to know about my health. So she knew it. She did. You know what I mean? You know, but I mean, when somebody's so open about it, you know, it's like, you know what? I know you just said to be patient, but I got to know anyway. You know what? You got to love that a little bit. So, you know, I was like, oh, I kind of just shook my head and smiled and was like, all right, Jackie, we're going to put you on there. We're going to see what's what. Yeah,
wow.
So, but yeah.
Well, we'll all talk next week, and thank you, Nicole, for everything and for all your input.
Thank you, Cindy.
And have a great week.
You do the same, Cindy. And everybody, please, Cindy never plugs herself. Why good people can't leave bad relationships, letting go of your 6 so-called good traits that keep you tied to the devil you know by Cindy Sansone Braff. Get it, Amazon, go for it this week.
And, Nicole, if you would email me your address. If you would email me your address, I would send you one.
Oh, really? Well,
so
I guess I'll have to do that for you.
Email me your address and you get your book.
Woohoo! All right, guys. Have a good night.
Okay,
have a great week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.